Many things that happen and are described in the Old Testament are pictures of what is to come. Now, from our standpoint, what is to come has already been, but in Old Testament times, things that happen were pictures, and there are many pictures in the Old Testament that paint what salvation is all about. You can go back to the Garden of Eden, where God had to kill innocent animals to make coats to cover Adam and Eve's nakedness is a picture of salvation. The ark that Noah built is a picture of salvation. The Passover and the Passover lamb with the blood applied to the doorpost of the, is a picture of our salvation. And this story that we read in Joshua chapter 2 is also a picture of salvation. If you've been at church any time at all, you've heard the story of Rahab. She was a harlot. She lived in the city of Jericho. When Joshua came into the promised land, the first city that God told him to take was the city of Jericho, and Joshua sent two spies in to spy out the city. The king of Jericho heard that those spies had come, and she'd heard that Rahab had taken them into her house. And so he sent word to Rahab, said, "I want you to turn over the spies to me. They've come in to spy out the land, and I want to take them prisoner." And Rahab said, "Well, they did come in, but they've gone out, and I have no idea where they are." Now, she wasn't telling the truth. She'd actually taken them up on the roof and hid them. The soldiers came and searched the house, and she had hidden under some flax that she was drying on the roof, and they couldn't find them. And so the soldiers returned, and she told them, "Hey, they went out this way. If you chase them, you might be able to catch them." And so the soldiers left, and then the two men came out and expressed their thanks to Rahab for hiding them. And Rahab said, "Well, we know that you're going to come and conquer the city. We know that your God's going to give it to you." She said, "The men of the city are already afraid. And my request is, because of the kindness I have showed you in hiding you, if you would save my family and I." And the two men made an agreement with her. They said, "Well, if you bring your family into your house..." Now, she was going to let them down over the wall. She lived on the wall. She was going to let them down over the wall with a red line, a rope that was dyed red. And they said, "If you tie this red rope in your window, when we come to conquer the city, we will spare everybody that's in your house. Now, if they go out, their blood's going to be on their own heads. But if they stay in there in your house and anything happens to them, their blood's going to be on our hands. And so we promise you that we'll save anybody that's in your house." Now, again, that paints, and that's exactly what happened. We're not going to talk about the end of the story, but that's exactly what happened. And that story is a wonderful picture of salvation. Rahab represents us as sinners. The destruction of Jericho represents the condemnation and the judgment that God's going to place on sin. And that red rope, that scarlet thread, that scarlet line represents the blood of Christ that leads to our salvation. Without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. So this morning as my message, and I'll be quick, I know I have less time on Lord's Supper Sunday morning, I want to say six things about that scarlet or that red rope. Number one, it was authoritatively appointed. What it means was that when the spies told Rahab to tie that rope in the window, they were speaking for the authority in Israel. They were speaking for Joshua. They were his representatives. They were sent on a mission by him. And so anything they said, anything they agreed to, actually came from Joshua. Because that's the authority that he had given them. I want to tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ has been authorized by God the Father to save us from our sins. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, the Bible says, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world." In Revelation 13:8, the Bible talks about the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world was made, God knew us. He knew we were going to be sinners. He knew we were going to need a salvation from sin. And he authorized the blood of his son to be payment for that sin. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. In 1 Peter chapter 1, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. God's plan of salvation was authorized by him. It was authorized before the world was created. This plan of getting saved through the blood of Jesus Christ is not my plan. It's not a Baptist plan. It's not a Fellowship Baptist Church plan. It is a God plan. He authorized it. So it's authoritatively appointed. Number two, it was conspicuously insignificant. What the spy said to Rahab, behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. They did not say to Rahab, you're a harlot. You need to clean up your life. They didn't say, you need to stand before the king of Jericho and renounce your citizenship and identify with the people of God. They simply said, you take this red rope that you let us down over the wall with and you tie it in your window. God says to us, in order to get right with him, he says, look, you don't need to clean up your life to get right with me. You don't need to get baptized to get right with me. You don't need to take the Lord's Supper to get right with me. You don't need to do penance to get right with me. He doesn't say you need to do some work to get right with me. He made it simple. He said, you believe in Jesus. That's what he said. He made it very, very simple. That's why so many people have a hard time with it. It's too easy. If God would have made it harder, it would have been better for most people. I mean, if God said, you got to suffer in order to get saved, we would understand that better than simply believing in Christ. If God had said, you got to pay something, we would understand that. If God said, you got to work, you got to do some work, that would be more palatable. Most people reject salvation because God made it too easy. He said, all you got to do is come. Whosoever believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. That's all it is to it. I don't have to pay. I don't have to work. I don't have to do some great deed. I just simply have to believe that Jesus died for me and that his blood will wash away my sins. Wash away my sins from his memory. That's what his blood does. It was simple. The world doesn't understand it. In fact, it's foolishness to them. In 1 Corinthians, the Bible says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I'm a fool this morning because I'm preaching something simple to you that didn't come from me. It came from God. He said, all you have to do is believe on Christ. That's it. Rahab, all you got to do is tie this line in the window. Look, don't listen to people that want to add something to salvation. I mean, I think you ought to get baptized. I think you ought to take the Lord's Supper. I think you ought to live a good life. We talked about that in Sunday school. But if you add that to what Jesus did to Calvary, you have become a cult. Because you've added to the Word of God. And he said, it's not trusting Christ and getting baptized. It's not trusting Christ and taking the Lord's Supper. It's not trusting Christ and cleaning up your life. Now, you ought to do all those things, but none of them are necessary for salvation. It's simply believing Jesus Christ. Number three, it was previously tried. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. This line, this rope of scarlet that they told Rahab to tie in the window was the same rope that she used to save the lives of the spies. Now, the same thing can be said of salvation. It has already been tried, and it has proven itself to work. How many of you are saved this morning? Lift your hand. You know Jesus as your Savior. Lift your hand. There's testimony that it works. It works. It works. Marianne sang that song this morning. I've been forgiven. I want to tell you, it worked for me. I was about 14 years old. I was a church kid. I went to church every time the door was open. My mom and dad made me go. They didn't warp my personality, as the world says today. They made me go. I knew I needed to get saved. I'd stand during the invitation. I'd hang on to the pew. I thought I would die. I wanted to go forward. I wanted to get saved, but I was shy. Some of you might have a hard time believing that, but I was shy. I thought I'd die if I had to walk down the aisle. I was in a dilemma. I wanted to get saved. I thought the only way you could get saved was walk down the aisle, and I didn't want to walk down the aisle. You've heard my testimony. We were having a revival. I was walking out one night. My pastor said, "Hey, don't you think it's about time you got saved?" I said, "Yeah, but I'm scared." He said, "Come with me." We went into his office. We got down on our knees. He took me down the Romans Road. I bowed my head and said, "God, I'm not much, but if you take me, I'll take Jesus." I want to tell you something. It works. It works. I have been forgiven. My sins have been washed away. I want to tell you something this morning. It works. Number four, it's abundantly sufficient. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein. So I'm talking about the first verse of Joshua chapter 2, where they went into the harlot's house, and verse 24, where they burned the city. The only thing that was saved from Jericho was the stuff that Achan stole and Rahab and her family. Now, Rahab was a harlot. She was a sinner. You see, some of you may say this morning, "Preacher, God can't save me because I'm a sinner. And you don't know the kind of sin that I've committed. You just don't know. You just don't know." I know. I don't know the kind of sin that you've committed. I don't want to know. I don't need to know. All I need to know is that I have a God and I have a Savior whose blood is sufficient to cover your sin. All of it. All of it. Jesus said in Luke chapter 5, "I've come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." You see, sinners are who Jesus is after. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, "Come down, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be saved." I want to tell you something this morning. There's nobody here too bad for Jesus to save. His blood covers all sin. In 1 John 1, 7, "And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Doesn't matter what kind of sinner you are, I know what kind of Savior we have. Number five, it's inclusively ample. The spies told Rahab, you bring the people that you want to save, you bring them into your house. And you tie this thread in the window. And I can see Rahab. I mean, they didn't attack the next day. Spies had to go back. They had to get everything ready. But I can, as the army of Israel approached Jericho, and they didn't have a sneak attack. You remember that God gave them an unusual battle plan. They were to walk around the city for 6 days, one time each. And then on the seventh day, they were to walk around seven times, blow the trumpets and shouts, and the wall would come down. I've often wondered, when did Rahab go get her mom? When did Rahab go get her dad? When did she go get her brothers? When did she go get her sisters? When did she go get all her cousins? See, I don't know if it was the first day when they started marching around because she didn't know what the plan was. I sort of think it was when she saw him coming, she went out and she got her family. She got her friends. I mean, that house was packed. Everybody that she could get in there, she got in there. And they probably stayed. I don't know about you, but if I was there, I wouldn't go out. I don't know what's going to happen. They didn't know they were going to march around for six more days and then seven times on the seventh day. They stayed there. And yet, on that seventh day, when the walls fell, everybody that was in Rahab's house was saved. Everybody else was destroyed. Her mama was saved, her daddy was saved, her brothers were saved, her sisters were saved. Everybody who was got in the house where the red line was tied was saved from destruction. And the same thing is true about the salvation and the blood of Jesus Christ. Everybody that gets under the blood, everybody that gets under the blood will be saved. Nobody will be left out. Nobody will be destroyed. Nobody will go to hell. Everybody under the blood will be saved. And then number six, I hurry, that scarlet thread had to be personally placed. She let the spies down, and the Bible says that very moment, because she didn't know when they were coming back. She didn't know when destruction was coming. That very moment, she took that red thread and tied it in her window. She did it herself. Same thing is true when it comes to the blood of Jesus Christ. We have to take it for ourselves. God makes it available to every person. And every person that gets under that blood will be saved. But we have to take it ourselves. He doesn't force it on us. He offers it to every single person. God so loved the world. And he offers, and he says, whosoever. Well, you know, whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But we have to take it ourselves. If I were you and I were here this morning and I wasn't saved, I'd do exactly like Rahab did. I'd do it right now. You don't know when God's coming back. You don't know when the world's going to be. You don't know when the rapture's going to happen, the trumpet's going to blow, and the Christians are going to leave this world. Right now, if you're not saved, right now is the easiest time for you to ask the Lord and ask Jesus to be your Savior. It will be harder the next time. Your heart will be more calloused. It'll be harder for you to say yes. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Rahab took that red rope. She let the spies down with it. And then she immediately tied it in her window. This morning, if you're not saved, I'm asking you to take the red rope of the blood of Jesus Christ and put it in your life by receiving him as your Savior. And then you won't have to worry. You won't have to worry or fret when Jesus comes, because you'll be ready. And it will save you. And by the way, as a couple of the men prayed for the Lord's Supper, Rahab went out. She got everybody she loved in the house. She got her family. She got her friends. She knew destruction was coming. She didn't know exactly when, but she knew it was coming. And she knew that she had a way to save their lives. Destruction's coming. The wages of sin is death. People are going to pay for their sins. We know the antidote. We know the way to safety. And the way to safety is through the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to go out and fill up the house. We ought to go out and tell them about the blood. We ought to go out and tell them that the only way to get right with God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for painting so many pictures in the Old Testament of what Jesus was going to do for us. And then, Father, thank you for having Jesus do exactly that. He went to the cross. He bore our sin. He paid the price that we owe so that we could stand before you justified, just as if we've never sinned. We could stand before you forgiven. We could stand before you as one of your children with the hope of eternal life. Father, we only have all that because of what Jesus did for us on Calvary. I pray for the Christians that are here. I pray that as you've reminded us of what you did for us, it would motivate us to live a life marked by good works so that other people could see our good works and want to come to the Savior, so that other people could see our good works and want to be part of the family of God. Help us, Father, to think about and to recall and to remember and to dwell upon the price that you paid to save us. And then, Father, I pray for those that might be here that don't know Jesus. Help them to understand that destruction is coming. It's sure. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour, but we know it's coming. And the only thing that will save us from that destruction, the destruction of sin, the destruction of evil, the punishment for sin that you've told us about in the Bible, the only thing that will save us from that is the blood of Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to him. No man cometh to you except by him. And I pray if there's just one here this morning that's not come to him, they would come. In just a moment, we're going to stand, we're going to sing. If they come during that song, we'll take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. So, Father, please bless this invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.